Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. You have a whole list of announcements. Please listen, of course, attentively, but refer to the vestibule bulletin board or the website, because there's something about every single day coming up here for the next week. Today we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Tomorrow is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and there will be a high Mass at 9 in the morning and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Tuesday, the Mass will be at 8:30, not 7:30. And there will be the cleaning of the chapel in the hall after that Mass, so the cleaning is not tomorrow. By the way, I know one of the other priests often does this, but since I see that, we are grateful for everyone who does that, takes care of our Lord's house, and for the people who took care of our Lord's grounds yesterday. It looks beautiful out there right now, so thank you for that. Wednesday is the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of our Lord. There will be a solemn Mass at 9 in the morning and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Thursday is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the Mass will be at 8:30 in the morning. There will be a Holy Hour and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. Friday is the first Friday, and the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by a conference and rosary. Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, and the Mass will be at 8:30 in the morning. Everybody with me? Next Sunday, the Mass will be at 8 a.m. as usual, but after the Mass, there will be the blessings from the priests after Mass, and then there's a reception in the hall. So you've seen something about that already. Okay, a week from this Monday, that would be July 6th, the Mass will be at 8:30 in the morning and followed by cleaning of the chapel and hall. That really is normal. The only reason why you announce it is because everyone understands there's no change, just because that is actually the anniversary of the ordinations, just so you know, because we're celebrating them next Sunday with all the people. The other feasts this week are Tuesday is the feast of St. Paul, commemoration of St. Paul, and the Friday is the feast of St. Irenaeus. So I will not repeat all of them. Just know there's something happening every day for the next 7 days. So just pay attention to the schedule for that. The only thing I will say is, of course, benediction today and the feast of Saints Peter and Paul tomorrow. The epistle for this Mass is taken from Saint Peter's first epistle. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you, if you are zealous for what is good? But if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts, Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raka, Raka,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is the Mass of Fraternal Charity, so as we now begin, we're already into the time after Pentecost, the time of taking all the truths of the faith and interiorizing them so we become saints. That's what we're about. And the two great commandments, as we remember, are love of God and love of neighbor. So Holy Mother Church is right at the beginning of this time reminding us, if we want to see how much we say or think we love God, then this is going to be a good test, seeing how much we practice love of neighbor. So that's what the Mass is about. And this just came to me. I just want to point this out to you, because this was something. These are the words of our Lord. "Whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna." This is completely off topic. I just want to show you something. Our Lord is saying, the fire of Gehenna. Now, some years ago, the highest authority in the church said something to imply there is no place called hell. There is no fire in hell. That caused a great consternation with the priests. And we had to go searching through all the books and everything, because we knew our Lord said, the fire of Gehenna. There's enough, a lot can be said about that, but I just want to show you this, that in the books, the interpretation of these words, although we all know what they mean, has not been declared by the church yet. It has not been defined officially. We know what it means. And I just point this out to you to show you the modernists are more clever and more smart than we are. They know that. They know exactly how far they can go in saying something to cause disturbance among the faithful, and yet be able to defend themselves. It is not a dogma of the faith. If you're following what I'm saying, you can see how diabolical that is. So we have very competent enemies. Not to worry, though, because God is on our side. But I just point that out to you to remind you, the battle is their side. They are very clever. They are very smart. They're smarter than we are. But we have God. So back to fraternal charity. This Mass is, we have St. Peter, his feast tomorrow, our first Pope, telling us in very practical ways. We can't go into, hopefully people can come to the Mass tomorrow, about St. Peter. What a great person. Just a great person. What we see from these words how much his suffering, his training with our Lord changed him. He was always this very exuberant, always answering right on the spot, sometimes having to take back what he was saying, and getting into all kinds of little scraps and things, little fights. But you see how over time, and as he writes at the end of his life as the vicar of Christ, hear him telling us, first of all, be like-minded in prayer. That's the first thing he tells us. That's the whole story of the liturgy. That's just the opening line here. And he goes on to say, compassionate, lovers of the faithful, etc. And he says, this is one of the prime things he wants to point out. Hold your tongue. This is to cause a lot of trouble. St. James in his epistle says, it's funny how that tongue is like one of the smallest members of our body, and yet it causes so much trouble. But if we can control that, it's like controlling the whole ship by that one little rudder. But we recall what Father has said about in the past about, this is a quoting from the Psalms, but he says, let him turn away from evil and do good. It's not enough to turn away from evil, but we have to do good. But then the next part of the Psalm, which St. Peter is quoting, is seek after peace and pursue it. So at the Agnus Dei of every Mass, we say, Lord, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, grant us peace. And then their Holy Mother of the Church then goes on to the prayer for peace. Lord, you gave to your apostles, you said, my peace I give to you. This is the hallmark of fraternal charity. We and the Our Father is a dangerous prayer, as you know. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we're saying to God, we're praying to God, we're asking God, be merciful to me the way I am to my brethren. That's a dangerous prayer. And then our Lord, of course, goes in to talking about how just not killing people, that's the minimum in fulfilling the commandment, the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he goes on to say, no, it's more than that. We must even, interior sins of anger must be done away with, and even impatience. So it's a tremendous amount of work we've got to do. But the end result is that we are praying as in the communion. One thing we ask, and this we seek after, that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is all of us together. This is the great sign. So if you want to know how much you think you love God, think how much you love neighbor, how much you're willing to. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, whose feast was just this past week, can't go into this, the greatness of the saint. But when they asked him, what was your greatest trial? And he said, community living, religious life. So and here you have people that are all coming with the same intention, they're trying to serve God and everything, and he's saying that was his greatest cross in life. So we all understand this is a big challenge. But check your own conscience to see if I have done the things. You can just pull out this, read the Epistle and Gospel, and see, have I followed these things, and make that a point of examination. The other thing we want, so that's all we can say. We can say a lot more, obviously, but we have to stop for a second because of our historical moment. When this year began, it was already on the horizon that this was going to be a bad year. When has it been a good year in 50 years? Who knows? And now we're halfway there. And things were not on the horizon then, at least to us, are now happening. And we are referring, if everyone probably is aware, of Friday, where the Supreme Court has now declared that
pardon terminology, same-sex marriages are legal in this country. We don't know what the future holds there, although we've already had discussions about it, you probably have thought too. Because you may recall that in the military, this has already been permitted, and chaplains were threatened in the military who did not do this function, if you recall that. So, is the day coming when the government is going to shut us down, persecute us in other ways? Who knows? Because we will not. Because that is a law, or they interpret it that way, which, by the way, I don't know how that, I've never seen those words in the U.S. Constitution. But if it comes to that, you know, and we of course know, there will be no compromise. The things that were seen at the beginning of the year are still to come ahead of us. Things right in the church itself along these same lines. We are in dire straits. Now, we want to just take this opportunity to, and the government doesn't have to worry about crossing a line between church and state, because we're going to be talking about spiritual matters. Although, just for the record, so everyone knows, each body is supreme in its own area. The state in the things that regard the state, and the church in the things that regard the church. That's clear. In areas that are mixed, where there's an overlap, the church is supreme. Let's remember that. So the government can make laws about how marriages are contracted in the society because they have a role to play in making sure citizens are protecting everything. But as far as stating about marriage, the church is supreme. So just because the propaganda is overwhelming, and whatever age it is, the younger generation has been programmed to accept what the Supreme Court has come out with, unfortunately. They're programmed already to accept that. We all know that is immoral, that lifestyle. It is against nature. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of it in the Old Testament. And it is one of the four sins that calls out to heaven for vengeance. And it's good to hear what these are. Unnatural vice. Murder of the innocent. That's been on our books since 1973, that we massacre the unborn. Okay. The oppression of the poor. That goes on all the time, worldwide. And by the way, it's a shame what's happened here. But we can almost, and I will work it down to two people at fault for this in this country. But what about a Catholic country like Ireland? Oh, sorry, I said Catholic. That just recently, in a popular vote, 2/3 of the people voted for the same thing. I don't know what that means exactly, but does that mean like if you went over there, 2 out of every 3 people you meet would be in favor of this? And so worldwide this is all happening, which, by the way, it doesn't take much to figure out. There's some kind of a plan to that. And then there is the defrauding of people of their wages. Those are the 4 crimes. So are they the worst crimes? No. Hatred, direct hatred of God. But these are the ones that cry out to God for his intervention. And so what's going to happen to the world, but to this country because of these things? I hope that people of my generation are around to pay the price. So in that sense, I apologize for to the young people that you are going to be inheriting a mess. Now, this is going to be a big topic as we move towards September and October, when the worst is yet to come. And that is, and that's why I'm zeroing in on two people. We have six Catholics on the Supreme Court of this country. It doesn't take much to do the numbers. This country should be Catholic from the Supreme Court's level. So all the Catholics voted against this thing, except for two of them. I don't want to be in their shoes when they have to explain that vote to God. And just remind everybody, especially young people who are being propagandized constantly, that this is an alternative lifestyle. It is unnatural because God, of course, created men and women, and he joined them originally in the contract of marriage. That's Adam and Eve. So it is a natural contract that our Lord came and enhanced and made into a sacrament. So we can have a whole discussion about that. And the essence of the sacrament, so the problem from Friday was begun way back in the 60s because of the church. The union of man and woman in marriage, that contract, has as its first purpose, get ready, young people especially, but maybe anyone else who doesn't remember this, the first purpose of the contract of marriage, and therefore of the sacrament too, is the procreation and education of children. Did I hear the word love, romance? Did I hear that? No. Now, even the pagans knew that. And if you go back to the ancient, you know, Greeks and everything, you check out what was going on in their marriage contracts. It was all about those children and how the society was going to go on. And you can study it or whatever, all the rules that they had, because they understood it. So, we might allude to the 60s, because when they had the Vatican Council, there were people standing up and saying, that first purpose, we have to have co-principles for marriage. There's not one supreme end in marriage. Oh, yeah, that's the first purpose of marriage. There are other ones, you know, mutual support and everything. So it's not like these other things are excluded, but that's the first one. And the Second Vatican Council, they equated that with mutual love of the spouses. You see what they did? They already knocked it down. And here we have 50 so years later, now procreation and education of children, that's not in the equation at all. Because that is the result of Friday's ruling, you see. We cannot have procreation and education of children in what they have made legal. And just so you're forewarned, you're forearmed, because I'm glad that I mentioned that thing about the modernists. This is the modernist spin that's going to be coming up as we approach October. October is a synod where they're going to tell us that people who live in sin can come up for communion. That's divorced and remarried Catholics. That's what they want to do there. And they're going to do the same thing about some kind of accommodation to people who are like our Supreme Court did. Now, how are the modernists spinning it? Because it's clear in the Gospels, our Lord has already told us what marriage is and all of this. They can't come out and just deny it. See, the devil is too smart for that. He can't just come out and deny it, because the traditionalists and people who still know something about the faith will immediately rise up and say, you have just contradicted our Lord. That is a denial of a dogma of the faith, and you are not Catholic. The devil can't risk that. He loves to have it very muddy, and it's easier to keep things confused. So how do they spin it? That is the commandment. That is the commandment. That is the ideal. But can't we have some kind of a pastoral accommodation to those who are not able to reach the goal? Can't we do that? Now, this, by the way, so that's the spin. Of course, doesn't talk at all about, is the person in a state of grace? And that's not even talked about. All we have to say about that is these words of our Lord: if you love me, keep my commandments. So when you hear the spin coming at you, just say, if you love Christ, as you say you do, then keep his commandments. End of discussion. Now, last thing. We don't like to, and sometimes we have to, but we don't like to end on a sad note, because society is completely crumbling when it's not going to be reproducing a citizenry. That's what Friday is telling us. This society does not care about the procreation and education of children. So we're not going to give in to that. We have to realize it. I feel sorry for young people. But not to worry. And what? Oh, so we talked about the six Catholics on the Supreme Court. Two of them voted for this thing. One of them wrote the opinion. I don't know how, about his explanation of how we're going to have marriage redefined this way. And I can't help but think that of our Lord's words, we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and he complained to St. Margaret Mary of the ingratitude, the coldness, the way people treat him in the sacrament of love. But what is still more painful to me is that even souls consecrated to me are acting in this way. Now, first of all, we're talking about consecrated souls, priests and religious. But you know what? You're all consecrated by baptism. You have all been consecrated to God. You have made the vows. I do renounce Satan and all his pomps and all his works. That's what these two people said through at least their godparents. That's what they said. They are consecrated souls to God, and they are telling us, they are making this decision. But we're not going to end on that sad note. And this, what are we going to do about it, consecrated souls? What are you going to do about it? I know what I'm going to do. You heard the long list of what's happening this week. This is a pivotal week. And God has given us the means of doing something. I will not list all the things we just said about it, but you see there's something happening every day. Every day. And every one of these feasts, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hallmark of the precious blood, that feast. Think of St. John de Brébeuf saying, these people in this land will not be converted until blood is shed. And you have to save that for the feast. Everything about that feast is against what we're battling today. It was instituted against the Freemasonic conspiracy. It was against all and everything else. And it was a feast of triumph. The visitation the next day, when Pope Pius IX brought out the veil of Veronica in the midst of the great battle that was going on, that it was said that our Lord's face shone forth from the veil miraculously around that day. The whole battle for Rome took place during this week, 150 years ago. Everything that we're battling is being renewed in the battle this week. Saints Peter and Paul, their feast tomorrow, they took the battle right up to the gates of the pagan capital, right before the emperor. We're not stepping back. We're fighting ahead. God is on our side. We will be victorious. Hopefully, this generation does not deserve it. The young generation does, but they have to fight for it. We have, the 4th of July is Saturday. It's the first Saturday of the month. We are not devoted to the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty. We are devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we come on the first Saturday thinking of all of the things that we're renewing, we're making up for, the communions of reparation, the first Friday. Thinking of our Lord saying, consecrated souls hurt me the most. Consecrated souls. I think you have the idea. We are not sitting back. We are not sad. As bad as it is, that is the guarantee of how great the victory will be. How miraculous the victory will be. We say miraculous because does anyone have a possible idea of how we're going to get out of this? No way. And that's because God, in his great wisdom, has said, okay, everybody, you're all so smart. Go ahead. You take care of everything. And then when enough people finally realize we can't fix it, and we get on our knees, that's when God will step in and we'll know that it was he who saved. Remember that story of Gideon in the Old Testament? He raised up Gideon as a judge to do his work for him. And he had all this army that came with him. And God said, no, you've got too many people. Someone's going to think that your generalship or something did this. I won't go through the story. You can look it up. But you know what happened, how God thinned out his little army just so that when the victory came, it was clearly not Gideon and his men that did it. It was God. That's what's going to happen. We know the pattern. Just want to remind you of it. We're not defeated. We've been losing for 50 years straight, but in the end, God will triumph. So, be part of it, consecrated souls. Make the effort to be here for everything, or at least something. And at this Mass, we receive Holy Communion. Rededicate yourself. Reconsecrate yourself. And you can test that love of God by how much you love your neighbor. May God bless you.